Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thank you so much for joining me for episode 355 of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. I hope you're having a great week, a great end of 2021 as we step forward into 2022. It's an exciting time, hopefully, for everybody. I know sometimes for some of you, you probably create New Year's resolutions. Some of you don't. But no matter, I think whether you do that or not, I always think turning over a new leaf for the calendar year is always kind of an exciting time, a chance to reflect and look back. Appreciate all the things we've had an opportunity to see, learn, think about, and experience in the past year. So, like I said, even if you're not a resolution person, I think a chance to reflect back, it's a good thing. Sometimes it's important for us to take account of all the things that have actually happened in our life and look back and mark those milestones, mark those occasions, and think about and celebrate a lot of those different changes and things that have happened. For this last podcast of the year, I've got a couple of questions I've been sent. A couple of these questions I've been sent multiple times over the year, but a couple of questions I just want to cover is some questions from listeners just to go ahead and get those answered. One of them is, how do you find photographers to follow? And I assume by that, that question is about social media. And for those of you who follow the podcast know that social media and I are not necessarily the tightest of companions. I'm not on social media a whole lot. I don't follow a lot or do a lot on social media. I spend my time on other things. But the question I think is still important. I think the question of what photographers to follow. And like a lot of questions in life, I think sometimes the first question we ask isn't necessarily the correct question. And I think the better question is, what are you seeking in your photography? What do you want to have in your photography? And then figure out which photographers to follow. If we're looking for inspiration, if we're looking for new creative ideas, if we're looking for validation, what are we looking for in our work? And that would affect who we would potentially follow and connect with. Because I think if we're looking for deep, meaningful conversations about photography, we would choose a different audience than who can give me the fastest response to a photograph. So deciding really what is it about the who to follow is really important, because I think ultimately that drives the better question, the better indicator, the more interesting question. What is it that you're actually seeking in your photography? I know for me, a lot of the times when I'm looking at photographers to follow, when I'm looking at photographers to look at, one of the ones is I'm looking at photographers who continually show a completion of work. They have projects they work on. They have concepts they work on. And we see them in folios. We see them in books. We see them in web series where there's a completion to that. It's not just a series of images of one thing, but there's a cohesion to that. There's some thought process put into the collection, the editing and sequencing of that work, not the processing of the image or the developing of the image, but really in that editing and sequencing process. And so a lot of what I'm looking for is that. And I'm also looking for photographers who can teach me to see in a different way. They come from a different experience, a different thought process than my own. And so they're engaging me in the world in a different way. If I'm a landscape photographer, I don't necessarily seek out a lot of other landscape photographers. I want to go find other photographers that push me to think about who I am in the world in a uniquely different way. So again, in the question of what photographer to follow, I think the better question is, what do you want from the photographers you follow? And that hopefully gives a more interesting insight. I think another one that's one of those same kind of lines questions that I get asked a lot is, how do I engage with a gallery? I want to show my work in an art gallery. And I think that's also an interesting question, because I think the question behind that is really, what's your end goal with your photography? And what does the gallery actually mean? And what does the gallery represent? Because a lot of times I think there's things we could do in our photography and in our photographic career that allow us to be much more expressive when we're not confined to an artificial expectation, and that good photography is shown in a gallery. Well, that's just complete BS. There's no guarantee that good photography is in a gallery. There are times where amazing photography is in a gallery, but that doesn't necessarily mean that good photography is in a gallery. There could be horrible photography in an art gallery. So it's not a quality bar. Is it the fact that people can see your work? Because there's a lot of ways for people to see your work. Is it because you got to share it with people? Is it because there's this artificial sense of accomplishment that in fact is the goal, is if you accomplish something in your photography by having it be in a gallery. I think a lot of what we need to figure out when we say, how do I get into a gallery? Should I be in a gallery? Is, again, just like with who to follow as a photographer, what is the underlying motivation behind that? And seek to satisfy the underlying motivation, not the artificial construct that good photographers are in galleries or good photographers have X. Some of the most amazing photographers, some of the most amazing work won't actually be in a gallery. It'll be showcased in 1,000 different ways. And sometimes by letting go of what we want or what we think we want and embracing what we truly want, what is truly the thing that is of interest to us, we can take a step forward. I think about the idea of having work available. You know, oh, I want to be able to sell my work. I want people to be able to buy it. Okay, well, do you want them to buy it for $1 or $100,000? What is the ultimate kind of motivation behind that? Not with ego attached to it, not with, you know, our sense of artificial importance that society says and other photographers say is important, but to you, to sit down and really think about, what is it about your photography that's important, and is the way you're wanting to showcase it the right thing for you? By letting go of a gallery, it might enable you to share your photographs in a more meaningful way. It might allow you to create more work because you're no longer trying to figure out how to fit into this construct of what the gallery needs to be. And for some of you, you may recognize that having work in a gallery actually is important. And once you can embrace that and accept that, a decision is truly made, and then you can step forward to find the right gallery. Another question I get asked a lot is, what happens when I get my printer? How do I get my printer set up the right way? And I get asked a lot of printing questions, so I could literally spend hours and hours and hours talking about printing from a technical standpoint, from a setting standpoint. But again, the right way to set up the printer is not necessarily, again, the right question. I think a lot of times when we think about setting up a printer, setting up software, setting up a darkroom, we believe that there is this setting or this checkbox we can check that's going to, in fact, make our photographs significantly better. And yes, there are absolutely settings when printing that make a difference. Making sure we have the right ink density, the right paper media, the right profile set, all of those different things make a difference. But when it comes to printing, part of why we print is an attempt to connect to our work in a different way, in a more tangible way, in a more concrete way. And understanding in yourself why printing is important. Is the complete accuracy of screen to print important? Or are you going to be a person who collages and cuts up photographs and makes 3D sculptures out of images you've cut up? Maybe the color accuracy isn't as critical. Maybe you're doing something where you want abstract color, where there's a randomness of the event that happens. So like double exposure in camera versus compositing inside Photoshop, there's a difference in the experience that's there. And so the question of, is it the experience that matters? Is it the way the image is constructed, the way the image is printed, is that critical to the experience of the final image? Or is it a byproduct of that process? And I think answering that question is really important because much of what is the right way to set up the printer goes to the outcome goals. For me, when I set up printers and when I normally work with people, what we're trying to set up is screen to printer to make sure that's as close as possible and to make sure that we have the right media so that that experience of the print matches the expectation. Now, what happens after that? Again, like I said, I've worked with people who literally print 50 photographs, tear them into pieces, and reassemble them. You know, there's something about the actual mixed media element of that work. They coat it with gold. They put it under encaustic wax. They do all sorts of other things to the photograph. And so their right setup is different. So for you, again, thinking about, again, what is the end goal of the work? What is important to you in the print is going to drive a lot of that right way to set up the printer. So answering the question, what do I want in my prints, then leads to the question of what's the right way to set up the printer. The last one is not a question I get asked a lot, and it's not the question of, I think we're asking the wrong question. this is really about what happens when I go out and photograph and I'm sort of left uninspired or I'm not really feeling motivated. And I think for a lot of us, we hit these experiences in life. We hit these moments in life where we realize that there's an ebb and a flow to things. We are highly creative sometimes. We feel less creative other times. And part of that is, I think, sitting with that experience and holding that experience and recognizing that there are times when life changes, things change, and we're not always going to be on all the time. And yet our photography is a companion for us. It's a relationship we develop and we nurture, and it's there for us. And it may not be in the shooting. It may be in the processing. It may be in the looking at the photos we've taken. It may be looking at books, collections, whatever it is. But sometimes I think we have this expectation that if we're left uninspired by something, that something is in fact wrong with our process and the way we're working. I would encourage you to think about being uninspired is the exact same thing as being inspired. It is a part of a process. And recognizing that sometimes just grabbing the camera and going for a walk, even if you don't click anything, even if you don't take a picture, and you do that for weeks because you're not really feeling it. That's the phrase you hear a lot. I'm not really feeling it today. Well, not feeling it doesn't mean we still don't get up. We still don't do our day. We still behave. We still interact. We still do things. And recognizing that all of that is in service of what we're attempting to do. But avoiding that, saying I'm left uninspired and I'm walking away and I'm just going to put the camera down and I'm not going to think about it, I think can do yourself a disservice. But sitting with that feeling of being uninspired, experiencing that emotion, experiencing that feeling, and let yourself process that feeling. I think a lot of times we try to push feelings aside because they're uncomfortable. We're not necessarily, we don't like them. They make us feel funny. But in that world of experiencing those, that's how we process those. That's how we deal with those. That's how we're able to get through those. And maybe part of being uninspired is we haven't identified what really matters to us in our photography at that moment. And by letting ourselves work through that experience, not ignore it, not pretend like it doesn't exist, but journal on it, think about it, process that feeling can really let us take a step forward in making sure that wherever we are, we're engaged in that moment, whether it be inspired or uninspired. So those are some of the questions I've gotten over the last couple of months that I kind of found interesting, and I wanted to make sure I closed out the podcast year with that. Thanks so much again for being a listener of the podcast. I really do appreciate it. I hope you had a wonderful holiday season, and I look forward to seeing you in 2022. A nice, even, round number year, divisible by two. So it'll be a nice, hopefully a nice year for everybody. Nice, even roundness there. So thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.